Alex Stewart, we're so excited to be with you. We thought, who better than Alex Stewart? Because I remember from our interview with you for the Gut Solution, you were just amazing. You blew us away, not just with your content, but just how well you presented. You're just such a natural speaker. And I love that in a world where a lot of the health space is can be overwhelming and you're doing the wrong thing or the world is scary, you're coming in with a different angle of, look, here's what you can do, and don't get overwhelmed. It's actually exciting what you can change. And so I love that. So thank you for marching to the beat of your own drum, Alex. And we're so honored to have you.
Well, as the high school drummer in my school band, there's no other way to do it, really, is there? I'm just being true to brand.
You're the high school drummer. What do you mean, like a whole kit, or were you like a marching band?
No. I was the drummer in the jazz band, in the concert band. I was the percussionist. I was drums and singing. And I remember total tangent before we actually start talking about what we're here to talk about today. But there's this picture of me that just cements this memory forever. And I know you sing as well, Sarah, so it's nice kind of to connect that way. But I am singing and drumming just as my idol of the time, Phil Collins, did to Something Happened on the Way to Heaven. And it was like our 1989, I think I was in year 9 or year 10 band performance, and I had the singing drumming gig for that song, and my dad took a picture of it, and I just looked like a sweet little teen dag that thought I was just the coolest. Lovely memory.
Picture. I need to see this, and I am fangirling so hard right now. That's awesome. I forgot to mention, for those who are joining us purely on audio, Matt is here. Husband Matt. Sorry, Matt.
I'm here in the background as normal. I was just getting my own like horrific memories of music with me playing my euphonium in grade 6 and not knowing what I was doing in the concert band. But yours sounds way cooler.
Euphonium, for those who don't know, it's a small tuba.
Real geeky instrument. Yeah.
Yeah, play the one that no one even knows what it is. Yeah,
pretty much.
Ah, high school, childhood, it's hard. let's actually talk about adulting then. Let's move on.
Right along to the low-tox life. So, Alex Stewart, you have a thriving community on lowtoxlife.com, and I believe you have a Facebook group as well. I had a peruse through your website just before we jumped on, and you have so many things going on, so many courses, so many different amazing things that I'd love to chat to you about. But first of all, I would love to know, what is it that got you into thinking about toxicity? A lot of us now are starting to know how important it is, but what changed for you that you were like, this is important, people need to know about this?
Well, I had been looking at my food for a couple of years already, and this was about 12 years ago. So from 15 years to 12 years ago, I had really been working on my food. A naturopath had gladly, and thank gosh she did, linked for me chronic tonsillitis and gluten and non-celiac sensitivity, and recommended that I remove gluten. So I'd been looking at those food packets that I had bought in the past and realized, whoa, you know, it's not even just about the gluten. What the heck is all the rest of this stuff? And had really lifted the lid on my food, where it came from, starting to realize I was totally misaligned with my values and what I was buying and eating, and moving towards a produce-based diet. And that had all been going on for a couple of years. And then it was my baby shower when I think I was 32 or 33. And everyone gives you, you know, the really lovely gifts to help set you up. And it was all super generous and well-meaning. These were my favorite, closest friends. But the fact was that when I thought, oh, I'm really good at reading like food labels, why don't I just check out what's on the back of these products? The fact was, it was scary when I found out what was on there. And we're talking about 10, 12 years ago. So, we were really in peak greenwash phase for the people who were starting to market a better way of doing things. But absolutely, there was so much toxicity, so much petroleum, like over 90% of the ingredients in the leading baby get ready pack were petroleum based. And I was like, this just doesn't seem right. But then I thought about something like Vaseline, you know, a pretty innocent seeming product that every household had a jar of in their cabinet. And I thought, well, maybe petroleum's not that bad, like if you're just putting it on your skin. And so I decided to research a bit more deeply. And sure enough, paraffin wax itself is actually incredibly useful in a burns unit or, you know, whenever you need to do some pretty emergency cocooning stuff going on. And it's not harmful to your skin and the molecules are too big for your skin to absorb. But petroleum is used to make other types of chemicals and not just paraffin wax. And then I found that there were two pretty major groups. So you had the irritants, so things that could irritate the skin, eyes or lungs. And then you had this other category of things that could modulate or stuff around with your hormones, endocrine disruptive chemicals. Now, those two types of chemicals were shown to be a bit riskier. And it was really frustrating because there was no exact science on this. There were no double-blind placebo trials of 20 years because it's impossible to take something like an endocrine disruptive chemical, any of them out like on its own and get a group of humans to say, yeah, I'll see what that does to my health to pop that on my skin for, you know, every day, twice a day. And I'll do nothing else that could be confused with the effect of that thing. It's really, really hard. So a lot of people say, oh, you know, you can't prove that that's dangerous. No, actually we can't really in any 100% meaningful way when it comes to endocrine disruptors, because it's a very, very hard thing to test for. But what we can prove is that it's worth our caution, right? And that in certain studies, you can see with the animal studies, there are things that are happening to their hormone systems in using these endocrine disruptive chemicals in a clinical trial on animals. And given we also come from nature, I reckon that's a pretty good indicator that it would be worth our while to be more cautious. So as I researched more and more and turned to friends who I knew that, you know, worked in this space, building biologists, environmental scientists, and tried to get from them some more information, I started to come across people who were doing a lot of really important work. And what upset me was that their information wasn't being shown anywhere meaningful that would help many, many people get wind of this stuff and know what to do instead. Because half the time the media, or, you know, you might see a really big scary article and it's like, boo, boo, you know, the world's about to end in 2050 and there's no solution. I just don't accept that. You know, you guys did a whole thing on having to have solutions to the gut health epidemics of today. And I'm passionate about solution as well. So I didn't really see anything that wasn't either terrifying me or guilting me into change. And I thought, I've been an educator and a teacher and a motivator all my life across a couple of other industries. I think other smart people would want to know about this stuff and would want to know that there were better options that you could clear from danger 100% in many, many cases and more as time went on. And so I started the blog and it was a very innocent, you know, just startlotoxlife.com, which back then was actually alexstewart.com. But I decided really this is much bigger than me and I didn't want it to be a personal brand. I wanted it to be a movement. And I made the conscious decision to change that and really put the style of living at the forefront rather than the person. That was really important to me. So that's kind of how we ended up here. You know, over the years, it became ebooks, podcasts, best-selling books, lots and lots of workshops all around Australia and overseas. And I just feel so lucky to be able to help people, not just with environmental toxins either, with food, with their children, to just help change the picture of the future. Because often, because what we see in a lot of newspaper articles, the doom and gloom side of things, it helps us sort of start to think, wow, our future looks bleak. Like we actually start to see that it looks really crap. And my whole thing is, imagine if everyone wasn't this sick. Imagine if our environment wasn't so toxic. You know, like, it's a possibility, and there are many people doing things and creating things now that would allow for us to have a better future. So why don't we actually just believe it exists and start stepping towards it with some really practical tools? That's what kind of resonated with me, and that's why I felt and still feel compelled to keep going.
That's awesome. And like, yeah, you covered so many amazing things there. And I think one of the interesting things for me on my own journey was wondering, is this all pseudoscience? Like, you know, I'd be Googling things because I was working underground in coal mining, and I'd be wondering, am I in a toxic environment? And then there'd be scientists saying, this isn't toxic. And then you're like, well, yeah, it was just confusing for me.
Well, I've got a black lung research paper. Yeah, exactly.
And so what you were saying there, just about how like some scientists say, well, we can't even prove the level of toxicity in our systems completely, I guess, to the extent of some of the people in our, you know, tribe are saying. And you're, I guess, there as the consumer trying to think, should I care about this? Am I looking at the back of these food products going, should I be worried about this or shouldn't I? Like, it's a really confusing thing.
And I think the best thing to do then is to remove the word worry from the equation, because it's like, does this ring true for me instead? Like, that's a better question to ask ourselves. Does this make me feel comfortable to buy? Do I feel like I have enough information from this company to make an informed decision? And if the answer is no, then you don't have to worry. You just need to find something better.
Right. That's awesome.
No, I love that great verbiage around a really important topic. That
it's true. And yeah, we just, it's often like, it's cultural little ways of saying things, and the realization that having us worried sells a lot of stuff for a lot of people. Putting us in a position of fear makes a shed ton of cash for a lot of people. And I'm all for people making money. Of course, I have a small business. I have team wages to pay. Like, of course you've got to make money. It's not a bad thing, especially when it's in good hands. But at the expense of people and planet, that's never okay. And so if I feel like I'm not being given the right information, and there isn't a transparency and there isn't a sense of integrity around the values of something I'm considering, then I stop considering it.
Mm. Awesome.
That's a great filter, actually. And something just, yeah, I guess moving forward with what I'm thinking with the next, where we go with our interview, is in the sense that, okay, so we're taking more and more of a positive stance, and we're taking more of a, okay, we're going to, you know, I'm going to make change, but in a positive way. When you advise people as to what that change should be, where do you start? What are some of the big, you know, the easy goals that people can start with?
Yeah, cool.
On a practical level.
It's such a great question, and of course it's always the number one question, which I really like, because when you look at leading a low tox life, you got food, you got home, you got body, you got mind. It's like, whoa, where do I start with all that? Start with your attitude first. That is the number one thing. If you are going into this worried, stressed, and scared, you need to just check that and come at it from a place of excitement and curiosity. Once you've got your mindset right, then I would start with your food, and I would think about products over here on one side of the scale and produce over here on the other side of the scale, and start moving your family towards produce. Simple as that. So once you've started doing that, you then look at where that produce comes from. And you, along the way, also teach yourself to cook better, really learn some great techniques so that your produce tastes exciting and interesting. Because half the time people go, oh, I'm going to eat all healthy. And then by day 16 of eating carrot sticks and celery sticks with hummus, they're bored out of their brains and they reach for the Pringles. And we don't want people just doing that. So you do actually have to develop a bit of a literacy around cooking if you're going to make this a long-term thing, because then you're going to be excited about the deliciousness you can produce. So once you've got delicious cooking happening and you know you're getting it from great sources, then start looking at your personal care and cleaning. And to do that, I think the best, most powerful thing you can do is something I call the box challenge. That is, you put your fabric softener, your dryer sheets, your scented candles, scented reeds, your air freshener plugins, the plug-in that you've got in the car, put it all in a box. And I would say shampoo and conditioner as well, because they're often some of the smelliest personal care products out of everything. Put it all in a box. Start using a simple bar soap that's fragrance-free in the shower. Go for a low fragrance or naturally fragranced shampoo and conditioner just for a month. And then over about 3 weeks, leave it in the garage, in the box, don't use any of it. And just go about your day doing everything without having lit a candle or plugged in an air freshener. All of that stuff's in the garage. Stop using fabric softener. And I'm asking people to do that just for 3 weeks. Then after 3 weeks, bring the box back in. Plug in the air freshener, light the scented candle, use the fabric softener, the dryer sheets, wash your hair with the old shampoo and conditioner. Do everything as you normally used to do in that one day and observe how you feel. And I've never come across someone who does that challenge who feels like they want to reintroduce that stuff into their lives. Never once. And our community has, well, nearly sort of, if you add everybody up together, about 80,000 people in it now. And 5,000 of those people have done that challenge in my e-course, Go Low Tox. So just to give you an idea of how toxic something can be, but because it's a part of our everyday life and we've built up an immunity to it and how foreign it is, we just don't realize. But then when you take it out of your life and then you bring it back in, you are winded by the synthetic weirdness of it all. And it really, really becomes so obvious that we need to make changes. And the reason I think, even though synthetic fragrance is the biggest thing to tackle because it's across so many different things we use, at the same time, it's the most powerful way to get the fire in the belly to want to make the changes long-term and permanent in the first place.
Hmm. So what are some of the symptoms that people normally experience after they reintroduce those products? What do they say question. Is happening?
So most people will either get a splitting headache straight away, or they might get hay fever or start, you know, just have a whole bunch of sneezes, or they might feel really lethargic all of a sudden for a few days and not really be able to pinpoint the why, other than having brought that stuff back into the house. Because of course, you know, your liver's having to process that, your lungs are having to process it. And everything has to work in overdrive because it's all weird, man-made, synthetic stuff that we never signed up to try to process as a natural biological being. And while our livers are able to deal with the odd hit here and there, which is why I always say to people, you know, we do what we do most of the time so we can go with the flow some of the time, and you don't need to freak out if you're in a shopping center and one of those timed things goes off in the wall, you know, even though I do tend to go a bit Mission Impossible on that moment and, like, you know, get the hell out of there fast. But I even kind of have the music playing in my head and everything. But, you know, it's like our livers can handle that. That's what they can handle. They can handle the odd thing here and there. They can handle the, you know, Roundup sprayed lettuce at a mate's barbecue every now and then. They can handle those little things here and there. We're an incredible detoxifying machine by nature. But what we can't handle is this relentless onslaught of synthetic man-built chemicals in our environment day after day after day. That we can't handle. And while there are many, many man-built safe chemicals, the irritants and the hormone disruptors really do need, they deserve our time to just look into what they are, the main ones, and to find safer options. Because you literally just end up giving your body a break from all that crazy, intense processing every day.
I have the picture of, I still have the picture of you in my head as a Mission Impossible spy. It reminds me of the other week, actually, I got into an Uber.
And, oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, that can sometimes be the worst.
And they had the freshener. He called it like a car cologne or something. And it was excessive. Like, we opened the door and it hit me in the face. And I was in the car with my husband Matt here and my mom is this tiny little Asian woman and very blunt, and I got in the car and I'm just like subtly trying to put my coat over my nose because it was just so strong and felt so toxic. And she's in the back seat going, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. It's so toxic. Excuse me. What is that smell? It's so bad.
Oh, bless her.
Oh, please don't. It's so bad.
But it's true. And I feel so terrible for these people who are literally driving in a car 12 hours a day surrounded by that.
I know. I just thought about that. Man, how does he do that all day long? How does his body feel about that? It's pretty intense. And he couldn't even smell it. He was so used to it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I guess that leads us to an interesting, you know, thought. Like, what happens the day in the life of a toxin? You know, it's flying around and it enters our body. We often think of toxicity from our perspective. What is the toxin's journey into our body?
Toxin's journey. Well, it can get in through the skin, through the lungs.
What does it want in life?
Well, who knows? Actually, I don't really know how to answer that because
live in our liver.
It enters our body.
Go on a little day trip through our body. It keeps getting blocked in the liver, and then what happens then? It gets recirculated and recycled because our body doesn't know what to do with it, so it has to go around the block a whole another time. It still doesn't get out, and then it starts to build up in our fatty tissues, and then it gets trapped in there. It's like, I'm going to be in here forever. So yeah, actually, that's what happens to that toxin. Now I'm picturing like a toxin going, let me out.
Poor little toxins, they don't want to live in our
body. I know. We've never thought about it from their perspective.
If you think it from their perspective, it's so much easier to avoid them. You're like, I don't want to do this to you. I mean, do you really want to?
Yeah, exactly. It's toxin cruelty. That's what it is. Yeah.
Trapped in my fat for years.
No, vote no to toxin cruelty.
That, in all my years of doing interviews on toxins, is the first time that's ever come up. I love it.
All right. So Mr. Toxin's hanging out in our fat.
Mm-hmm.
What should we do? What you hear about the detox diet or the detox this or lemon, or there's so many different detox protocols out there. What are some of the most effective protocols that you've discovered or experienced with your community?
So the most effective thing we can all do is literally to stop using all this stuff. And our bodies are eventually over time going to remove more and more, especially the water soluble stuff goes very, very quickly as soon as we stop using it, because there are some toxins that are water soluble. We literally just pee them out, and other ones that get stored in our fat tissue. BPA, for example, is one of those. The best ways to work on the toxins that are stored in our fat tissues are to lose weight and to lose fat. But often, because of the protective nature in which it's all built into our fat tissues, it becomes harder and harder to lose weight. And that's where the term obesogen came up. So an endocrine disruptive chemical that tends to cause obesity because of this self-protective mechanism loop that the chemicals in our fat tissues end up in. So the way to either try to prevent that or mitigate, if you like, or start reversing some of the damage would be to do simple things like dry body brushing and stimulating the lymph tissue, because lymph stimulation is your friend in detoxification. And another really important thing for us to all do is to make sure we're pooping every day, because if you're not, then that's when we get into toxin recycling factories in our bodies, and that's definitely not a good thing. And then another great thing you can do is infrared sauna. And sort of anywhere between 15 and 30 minutes, depending on what feels comfortable for people, is a really, really effective strategy in starting to remove some of these toxins from our bodies and encourage a metabolic rate to stay nice and high and encourage us to be naturally burning fat. And this could be a really good time to bring in a nutritionist, a sports nutritionist, for example, and work on your exercise and work on the food that you need to be eating to release weight and reduce leptin levels, because leptin, our appetite-regulating hormone, often goes up when we have a high amount of endocrine disruptors in our bodies. And remember, these endocrine disruptors aren't just coming from our personal care and our cleaning products, but they're also coming from things like mold, the mycotoxins, endocrine disruptive. Glyphosate and other herbicides and pesticides are endocrine disruptive or have endocrine disruptive chemicals in their formulas. So the best thing you can do is to just clean everything up and stop exposing yourself, and then start with some of those strategies to move that stuff along.
Has there been, of those protocols, is there some that you would like to debunk? Like, is there any that you think, that's bogus? Like, come on, guys. Have a bit of lemon and then drink some water and you think you're detoxing? Like, is there something, is there some common misconceptions maybe?
Well, look, there's nothing wrong with a bit of lemon in your water in the morning, especially warm water as the first thing that you have. It's an amazing digestive system kickoff to, and a waker-upper. Like, it just says, okay, we're doing this. It's a fresh new day. And that's detoxifying in itself because it just gets all the body's systems to start working again. Look, I think anything that promises you that you can detox in 10 days, or that you can do a 5-day or 3-day detox and really intense detoxification, not so great. But there's so many great things that are really more quite health focused. Thinking of, you know, 5-day cleanses where you really up your super easy to digest foods. So you cut your body some slack on the digestibility front. You just have soups for 5 days and just relax every other system while, you know, relax every other, relax your digestive system a bit so you can use that energy for other things like detoxification. And that's a really great thing to do. But I think anything that is extreme and that makes you, that adds the words rapid weight loss in there, that's kind of when you need to just put up a bit of a red flag. If it's about losing 5 pounds in 5 days, then they're not really caring about you actually detoxifying endocrine disruptive chemicals. It's just called a detox because you end up losing a ton of water, and you put that weight back on straight after you fit into the dress for 5 minutes and, you know, all that stuff. I think if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true, and you really want to check in with a health professional one-on-one. If you can't afford to go see someone, even just going to a local health shop that hires health professionals, to just check in with them and say, look, I'm thinking I need to detoxify. I mean, I just want some guidance so that I don't fall down the rabbit hole of something insincere or that's promising the world and actually isn't an effective way to do it. It's going to be different for everyone. So I think it's best to actually just speak to someone who's speaking to you, the person, rather than seeing a program on the internet. Does that make sense?
No, that's really good. That's really good. So the person that's obviously that just started something, is there some other really simple things? Like a lot of people, I guess, in our community, they may not have a huge budget. They may not have the budget to go and talk to an actual professional. Is there really simple things, like just if they were to start today and just be like, okay, would there be something like fasting? Would there be something like that's literally going to cost them no extra money? It's just like a simple little lifestyle change that you would get people started off with. It's just say, I've got zero budget. I just want to get started. I'm worried about all of this. Okay, I'm starting to detox my attitude because I don't want to be worried.
Very well self-corrected.
Teaching me, Alex. You're teaching me. So what would be, if you've got zero budget, like you've got nothing to work with.
Oh, well, that's just so easy because you just got to stop buying all this crap you don't need. Oh, right. That's my favorite. I mean, you end up saving money and going cost negative on going low tox when, I mean, who needs a $50 scented candle? No one, absolutely no one. And tell me how they put vanilla creme brulee inside a candle in the first place. Like, actually just start raising your awareness on how hilarious some of this stuff is. And you'll very quickly realize you don't need to replace it when it's done. And then you start saving money, and then that money that you save from stopping the buying of all the things ends up being your little kitty to start to swap out some really important things when that comes up. So that Teflon pan that you've had forever with all the scratches in it, you've been thinking, I know it's bad, then all of a sudden you've saved all that cash over here. You can start doing swaps like that. And that gets really exciting. So I think there is something you can do, whatever your budget, whatever your time constraint. One of my favorite things is to teach people to just kick their shoes off, socks off, and go earth for half an hour and, you know, rebalance ourselves and reconnect with nature. And I mean, it just still sounds like such a hippie woo-woo suggestion, but it works and it really is a powerful thing to do. We have been told that to be happy, we need stuff. We've been told that if we want to have a break, we've got to have a Kit Kat. If we want to have a good time, we've got to go for the Maltesers. It's crazy how much we are conditioned to believe that the things we deserve are things that actually take us away from our health and life goals in the marketing lingo of fast food, fast fashion, everything. And often we just don't need a lot of the stuff in the first place. It's like snacks. I mean, we do not need to buy snacks, right? So if you actually just ate through really good meals or two, if you're an intermittent faster, and put a lot of love into those meals, then all of a sudden, all of the money you used to spend on the chips and the crackers and the individual sealed popcorns that is like the biggest ripoff of all time when you can just buy a whole bunch of popping corn and make it yourself and you get like a huge amount for the same price. All those little changes, it's all mindset and it's all realizing what we don't need in the first place to liberate funds to then put them into things that are really valuable and much longer term, more satisfying goals that we have. So that's why I always say change your mindset first, because if that's not right, then everything's going to feel too hard or it's too expensive. You think, oh my gosh, you know, I want a $150 pillow. Then think for 2 weeks, what could I not do to accumulate a pool of funds that equals the new pillow I want to get? Little things like that. Or maybe it's going to take a month in someone's lifestyle. That's okay too. You know, we can't just look at the rich Instagram influencer who's getting all their stuff for free anyway and then feel bad that we don't get to get their stuff. No, that's like stop watching what other people are doing. And especially if it's making you feel a sense of lack, because it's going to take you further away from your goals and take you longer to get there. So it's... For me, you know, if you don't have the budget, step one is to just start looking at what you're spending your money on in the first place that makes you think you don't have the budget. Because often just doing that exercise alone makes us realize, I remember I was like, oh, I can't afford organic food. Then I was getting my nails done every 2 weeks and I was doing, you know, there were things that I was doing that once I raised my awareness, I was like, that's not important to me. In fact, that's even toxic. I'm going to take money out of that and I'm going to start putting it into better food. And so it's really often just a reshuffling of the household budget rather than just not being able to do it at all.
I love that so much. I love that so much. And so back to your question, Matt, there's plenty of things that people can start doing today and a lot of them will actually save you money and don't cost you money. So that's awesome. And I agree that just there does have to be a lot of re-education just culturally, because as you were speaking before, you know, growing up, good behavior was rewarded with a donut, you know, or something sweet or something that's actually detrimental to health.
I know. So we equate the good, someone doing good, and we give them something bad. we've got it so wrong.
So, out of interest, I know that you have a little boy. Mm-hmm. What sort of things, like you've obviously flipped that idea in your head, I'm assuming in your home, like how much do you reward your child's good behavior if it's not with these traditional sweets or something like that?
With a massive cuddle, with love and telling him I'm super proud of him. Mm. And, you know, we feel like we need to replace emotional connection with stuff and that stuff is an adequate replacement. It is not a meal replacement for emotional connection ever. And so, you know, that's the best food you can ever give someone, your undivided attention, unconditional love. And so for kids, I think, you know, we think we're not enough for them. We think our love's not enough and they need the cupcake and they need the special toy and they need the thing. I can tell you right now, there is one thing that I've bought my son in between a Christmas and a birthday since he was born. And that was a tennis racket for just being really proud of his commitment to his sport that he loves so much. And it was nowhere near a Christmas or a birthday. So I just thought, you know what? This is just going to be an out of the blue appreciation for his commitment. And I'm going to give him a really good racket. And he was blown away. And he's like, but it's not my birthday month, because he knows he literally only gets things on his birthday and Christmas and doesn't get stuff otherwise. If he wants, you know, a cupcake, then we're going to bake one together. We got to put the work in if we want something yummy. It's not just we get everything all around us all the time. The instantaneous, instant gratification culture is really, really dangerous for our kids. And it doesn't raise strong, resilient people. So I would caution anyone who's feeling like they're in that pattern as a parent to, again, just raise your awareness. That's the first step. Please don't feel like you've done anything wrong in the past. You didn't even realize. But we do not give our kids cupcakes at 8:30 on a Tuesday morning because they pack their school bag really fast. No. You know, that's just, we've just got to start reining all of that stuff in. And teach them to be proud of their efforts, and teach them to be to not attach good times and loving experiences with stuff and foods that take them away from their goals and make it hard to concentrate at school or achieve in sports. Like it's a big shift, because we somehow ended up here where we just were all asleep to this. And I'll never forget the time. I'll share with you guys a blog post I wrote a few years ago on mindful eating for kids, because that was really my first realization that we just feel like we have to keep giving them stuff to make them happy, and we don't. We need to give them us to make them happy.
I love that so much. Thank you, Alex, for sharing.
You're welcome.
That's awesome. And I think it would just be like a miss, because we know your story well, and the people that watched our Gut Solution series knows your story really well. But just before we go, just to hear a little bit more about your story with mold in particular, because I think mold is like a really interesting thing that a lot of people are unaware of, its impact on the body. And I guess, yeah, just with the time constraints, just a little bit introduction of you and mold and what people can do about it practically in their own homes.
So mold is a really tricky one. And for people who don't know that it's not just about like sneezy, oh, mold gives me hay fever. For a quarter of us, or just under a quarter of us, it's that we can't build antibodies to mold for our body to know that we need to eject that thing, that it's a bad thing and it needs to go. And so mold lives in us and hangs out. And if you're in a water damaged environment, it just starts to become more and more prevalent inside your body. And it doesn't just affect any one system. It's not an allergy like that. It is actually an inflammatory response that these particular people have, and I'm one of them. And we were in a water damaged building for 8 years and didn't realize, or just didn't even, you know, when you have like a little bit of resistant weight loss or a bit of brain fog, and that's kind of all it was for years for me, before anxiety then kicked in and then a whole bunch of other really scary stuff kicked in. And again, I'll share, because I'm conscious of your time, I'll share my whole mold story linked with you guys, because that's a 10,000 word article that I ended up writing all about my story for everybody to feel like they can be supported and know where to go. But it's a very scary illness, and it can affect your heart. It can affect your nervous system. You can get really freaky symptoms like electric shocks or shooting pains at no notice anywhere in your body. You can get a leaky tear duct like I had, that I had surgery on, but actually it was just a chronic inflammation event that if I had known and dealt with that, then it would have stopped tearing. And I know that because we went on holidays when that symptom was around. And when we were on holidays, it was a beach holiday, it stopped. And we all just chalked it down to being in the sea every day and draining properly or whatever. You know, we can rationalize everything when we think, you know, we know the answer to something. But really, as soon as I got home, it started again. I was like, ugh. And it was because of the place we lived. And then I started to see back in time that I was always happier and always healthier traveling. And I was always better at writing a long form article that I had an idea on and doing all the research for it if I was away from my home. And that for me is one of the big, big alarm bells. So if you feel like you feel better when you're not at your house, for a few days and you start to think, wow, I feel so alive. This is amazing. This holiday is just the thing I needed. Well, maybe it's not just the holiday you needed. Maybe it's to actually be in a different physical location because where you are isn't serving you. And the way that you then find out whether that's the case for you or not is best done with a building biologist who can do a full assessment of your home and find out where the water damage is coming from, if there's suspected water damage, and then they can step you through getting your dust tested to see how much mold is in your property, because the dust is a really good indicator of that. And we ended up having that done. And the result that came back was it was in the fourth quadrant, like the, which is the big red blocked quadrant at the bottom of all the options or levels, if you like, of danger. That's like the big, like, wrong way, go back, get the hell out of there as fast as you possibly can quadrant result. So I was like, oh gosh. And that's a really powerful thing to do because often it's only one or two people who have the gene mix in the family that then are affected by mold, and then the other half of the family can be completely fine. And so, you know, you've got the husband or the wife who's not affected going, oh, come on, you know, you're all right, like, let's go. And because they just can't understand how this house could be making the partner so sick but them not. So having something like that dust test done, it's called the ERMI test, E-R-M-I, can be a really great, nice, solid piece of evidence, if you like. And then from there, you can start to talk about remediation if you own the place or start to develop an action plan like we did as renters. And I can't tell you the difference it made to my health within 2 weeks. I was just starting to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm my hands aren't trembling anymore. And because I couldn't even hold a cup of tea without it shaking and spilling. It was really dire. My nervous system was shot to pieces. And I still get the odd twitch and tremor here and there. And it's often if I've been somewhere a bit musty, but I'm getting more and more resilient over time. And the longer you've been in a water damaged location, the longer it takes you to get better, because you don't want to try and push all of the toxins out and all of the mold out, but then because your liver's so shot to pieces from having tried to do that for you for years, you end up with a big traffic jam and huge symptoms that are worse than the actual original event itself. So you want to work with a good practitioner who's very, very well-versed in detoxification for something as big as that. That's not dry body brushing and going to the sauna isn't going to be enough. You really need some very specialized care from someone who understands mold and how to help you get rid of it from your body. But yeah, it's a scary thing to go through. And I just say to anybody, if you notice it's damp or you notice any mustiness, or maybe you just actually are happy to admit that it's odd that someone who's 35 might have rheumatoid arthritis, or weird that a perfectly otherwise healthy 30, 40 year old woman is having ectopic beats and palpitations. You know, like, these are big alarm bells, and I don't want people just going to specialists and trying to get medication if their home is potentially what's causing it, because, you know, you can then disguise the symptom and let the mold proliferate in your body even more. And that would be a shocker. You just get sicker down the track and then the medication stops working and you need something stronger. What if there's nothing stronger? So it's really important that we get to the root causes of why and how our home might be contributing to a chronic disease picture, because if you've done the food and you've done the diet exercise and you feel like you're kicking goals everywhere and nothing is changing, you have to look at your home sooner rather than later. And I kick myself that I didn't realize that earlier. You know, I was teaching people this stuff and yet didn't even realize my own home was water damaged. And I chalked that down to things like brain fog and resistant weight loss, which are some of the earlier symptoms with mold often, they can be happening for years. And like, what 40-year-old woman doesn't have those issues when she's got two businesses, a child, and, you know, like all that stuff going on? So you can kind of say, oh, well, it must just be that. And then we wait for the shit to hit the fan, pardon the French, and things to get really bad before we actually go, ooh, maybe it's not just that I'm busy and have a business and a child. I think there's something bigger going on here. So if I can now help people think what's up with my home faster and put their home under the microscope, just in case that's the issue, then I'm very happy to be able to help in that way.
So helpful. Thank you, Alex. Wow. So anyone that's listening, if you're that person that you don't know what's wrong, you feel like you're doing all the things, don't discount your home. Check for mold, check for water damage. It's definitely a stone worth turning over to see if that is your problem. It actually was an issue for my friend. We lived in Bali the year before last, and anyone that's been to Bali or Southeast Asia knows that it's really quite wet there. My friend was staying in the room downstairs and she was so anxious, and she had the leaky tear duct as well, actually. Super anxious and had the tear duct and didn't feel well. As soon as she left, came back to Australia, she's thriving, doing a thing, and only realizing now that the mold in Bali, because her room had been flooded the wet season before, and then she moved in and her husband was completely fine, as you said. And so she didn't think the room was a problem until she actually put the pieces together and realized the leaky tear duct is actually a sign of that as well. But interesting. But thank you so much, Alex, for all this.
Just quickly, where do they find that link or that article about?
I'll send it to you so that you can pop in your show notes. But the best thing to do, rather than to try and hunt around in the website, is to just punch into Google, Lotox Life, whole mold story. So whole as in the whole mold story, and it'll come straight up. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay, awesome.
Perfect. So I mentioned before that you have a great website, lotoxlife.com, and I said that you have courses on there, but I didn't mention that you also have a book. I actually have it on my kitchen bench. I bought it last week and I'm so excited to dive in.
Oh, yay. Awesome. Enjoy.
I will. I love in your writing that I've like thumbed through it so far. I love that your personality just shines through in your writing. It feels like I'm talking to you.
So many people said that, and I thought, you know, like, it's so funny when you write a book, you think, oh, it's got to sound all proper and important. And then as I started writing it and reviewing it, I just thought, no, I just wanted to sound like an old mate having a cup of tea with you and saying, you know, try this next. And why don't we do this? And, oh, do you know what I learned about that? So that it really feels like someone stepping you through who really cares about you, because I really care. Mm. And I just didn't want it to be one of those cold non-fiction situations with doom and gloom and what you need to do. And nah, that's not my style. So yeah, I'm glad that you felt like it felt like that, because that's totally. Certainly what I intended.
Oh, good. Well, it comes through, and it feels like I've got my mate Alex out there on my kitchen bench ready to guide me through the life of toxins who desperately just want to get out of our bodies.
Think of the toxins, everybody.
I know. Think of those toxins and just get those guys out of there fast.
Who wants to hang out in fat?
They're held captive. What is the best way? So we'll put the links on this page wherever on our website. But what is the best way for people to reach you, Alex? And like, what's the best way for them to be part of your orbit?
So I am really unoriginal, and I call everything I do the Lotox Life. So you'll find Lotox Life on Instagram, Lotox Life on Facebook. One of the best things you can do, it's $4 US a month to come and join our Lotox Club, where we have, you know, a bit of a chat group, and we talk about the podcast a bit more in depth. We hold some, because we've got a podcast as well, and you guessed it, it's called Lotox Life. And in there we do some like follow-up Q&As with the guests just for the clubbers. So it's a pretty cool little space to hang out in. And then, of course, we've got all of our courses on the website. We've got 9 e-courses now that help people with their goals, whether that's a personal health goal or whether it's a dietary challenge. They've been told they have to go gluten or dairy free or get rid of the additives for their kids to help them, you know, navigate that. And then all the other ones. I mean, the flagship course that I run twice a year, Go Lotox, which will be up in October this year, and then again next year, February, March, and then October again. That really is something I would love for everybody to do once in their lives, because it You know, people spend so much time going down these rabbit holes on the internet, and I swear I did it for over a decade to help you do it in 5 weeks. And it is just so wonderful to see that community all support each other through that course and kick goals together. There's something about signing up to do it all together as a team, the toxin reducing stuff, and to talk about some pretty big issues. So I really love pointing people towards that one as well.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for everything you've shared and the time that you spent with us. I'm sure our community is going to love it. And we already know they love you so much from the original series that we've done. Everyone comments.
I loved being a part of the Gut Solution. You guys did a great job. It was honestly the best summit I've ever been a part of.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's really humbling. But cool. Well, thank you so much again. I hope you have the great rest of your day there in Sydney. And
I shall. Yeah. It's nice and cozy. You can see from my jumper. I'm just like having a nice winter's day here. Wonderful. Thanks, guys.